You may know him. He lives around here and has lived around here for some time. He has been involved in ministry already and is going to be continuing now with a new ministry that he's beginning called Be the Bush Ministries. And it's, of course, a reference to the story of Moses being called and how the bush is really not that particularly special, but that God uses it to call people to right relationship with him. And so we're thankful for that. And I'm going to let Caleb tell you his story and tell you about this ministry, because we are excited. Our congregation, this is a ministry we're going to be supporting because we believe it's such a vital need in our community and in our county. So we as a congregation are going to be supporting that. But I know there's also going to be opportunities for individual support. And this is something that you see a need in. I know that this would be an opportunity you would have to support that. So I want to thank and welcome Caleb McCall this morning, our special guest speaker.
Is this on? Can everybody hear me? Yeah, y'all can hear me, I think. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good deal. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Well, I'll just start out by saying it's an honor to be here with you guys today. When Pastor Dustin and the elders asked me to do this, I was just so excited to come get to share with you guys. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Caleb McCall. I'm the young adult pastor at Canvas Community Church. My age group's like 18 to 35. It's a tough age group. Millennials, pray for me. No, I'm a millennial. Pray for me. No. But just excited to be here with you guys. And so I wear a couple different hats, and I'm not saying this because it's about titles, but I just want you to get to know what I do. So I'm an evangelist as well. I go around speaking and sharing the gospel all across the country, and God has really opened up opportunities for me to do so. And I'm just so thankful for what the Lord has done in my life, because I'm going to get into it in a second, but I used to live a very, very different life. There's probably some in this crowd that there is some in this crowd that knew me before I got born again and got saved. And God is so awesome. And so I get to go around sharing the gospel, sharing my story, sharing my testimony of what God has done in my life. And also now I'm the executive director of Be the Bush Ministries Crisis Center. So like Dustin was mentioning, Be the Bush Ministries, it stems from Exodus 3. And I'll get into that here in just a little bit. But so you guys have a little bit of a background on me, I'm going to share a little bit of my story and where God has brought me to and what he's brought me out of and all of those things. So I'll go ahead and get started with that. And let me share this before I get started. Everything that I'm about to tell you is not to glorify sin or glorify anything that I went through. It's to tell you so you can know the goodness of God's mercy and his grace and understand that the gospel is for the whosoever. There's so many people wrapped up in sin and wrapped up in addictions and wrapped up in just junk. But the gospel is for the whosoever who will believe in Christ Jesus, and they shall be saved. For there's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. My parents were both born-again believers, but they did go through a divorce when I was about 5 years old, and that devastated me as a child. You know, divorce is rampant in our country, and it's a problem in our country. The enemy is trying to destroy what God has established, what God has brought together. Let no man take a part in. And so he's trying to destroy families. But that's how I started out as a young boy. My parents went through a divorce, and that crushed me. I was really close with my father, but I went and lived with my mother. And so there was some bitterness built up there as a young child, unfortunately. And by the tender age, you know, like I said, I grew up in church, was always in church. But about the tender age of about 11 and 12, I got introduced to drugs and alcohol. And it was by older cousins and older family members and older friends. And, you know, that's how I started my preteen years, mixed up in drugs and alcohol already. And by 13, I was what society would call a full-blown functioning addict, because I was smoking marijuana every single day. I was an athlete. I played sports my entire life, and I would smoke marijuana before practices. I didn't even think that was drug use at this point in my life. That was just a normal part of my routine at 13 years old in the 8th grade. And in the 8th grade at 13 years old, my best friend's brother-in-law come home from prison, and he decided it would be a good idea to give us some cocaine. And we began doing cocaine, and I began selling cocaine at the age of 13 in the 8th grade in Shelbyville, Tennessee. That's where my mother had moved, and my father lived here in Manchester, so I was Shelbyville and Manchester back and forth. I'd come here on the weekends. And that's how my eighth grade year, my junior in junior high school, peddling drugs and dabbing in drugs and being a drug addict at 13 years old. 14 years old, my life got a little bit worse. I lost my best friend in the world. It was my brother. His name was Joshua. That's why I go by Caleb. It was my, we shared the same birthday. So I was born on his birthday, March 12th, 1989. And I lost my brother. He was 26 years old. And, he was smoking marijuana in his room, wound up having a grand mal seizure, and died at 26 years old when I was 14 years old. If there's any young people in the room today, let me tell you something right now. If you represent Jesus at 14 years old, you might be able to represent the gospel enough to somebody for them to be saved. I cannot look you in the eyes this morning and tell you where my brother is, because he was bitter, he was angry, he was mad, and he wasn't living for Jesus. And I tell that everywhere that I go, and I say it with intensity and passion, because this thing is real as it gets. Because if you don't represent the gospel to your family members, if you don't represent the gospel to your friends, people are dying and going to hell every single day. And unless he called upon the name of the Lord in those last seconds, I cannot tell you where he is. And at the age of 14, I knew about the Bible. If I would have just been living for Jesus at 14 years old, maybe I could look you in the eyes this morning and tell you where my brother is, but I can't. And so this is my life at 14 years old. I'm struggling with addiction. I'm selling drugs. I was an athlete. I was a pretty good basketball player, you know, by freshman, sophomore year in high school. Some colleges were I was gaining some attention. 16, I actually moved to Manchester. There was an epidemic at the high school here in Manchester with a drug called ecstasy, and I was selling it, doing it. It was just a mess at the high school. It was in 2005 and 6 when I was there. So I went here at the end of my sophomore year. I moved here after some trouble that happened in Shelbyville, and I moved here. And my father, he wanted me to do well. He was a Christian man. He believed in the Lord. He's a born-again believer. And he wanted me to do well, and he would separate me from those situations. But let me tell you something right now. If there's never a heart change, if you never get born again, you will take those problems with you wherever you go. You can move from this city to that city to that city, but if you do not get born again and change and begin to read this word, you will continue to struggle with those things. And so I was here in Manchester. Wound up getting kicked off the basketball team here. I played with Michael Williams. A lot of y'all might know him. He's the high school coach now. I like to tell people that I was the LeBron James of the team, and he was like the Udonis Haslam, but everybody knows that's a lie. But I tell that story, so it's my story. I can tell that, right? No, I'm just kidding. But so he – please, yeah. Can everybody hear me better now? All right, good deal. So I was here with Micah playing basketball, and, you know, I truly believe that I did want to quit doing drugs, but I had no answers of what the answer was to quit doing drugs, quit selling drugs. It was the lifestyle that I was living. I was addicted to the lifestyle just as much as I was the drugs and alcohol and all of that mess. I was addicted to the fast money, all of that stuff. I was addicted to all of it. And by 18, after I got kicked off the basketball team here, I moved to Woodbury, Tennessee. That's where I actually graduated from, good old Woodbury. And that's where I graduated from. And, you know, at I was actually 19. But at 18 years old, I met these fellas, and they had a lot of drugs. I'm going to tell you they had a lot of drugs. I'm telling you right now. I can look you in the eyes and tell you they had whatever it was that I wanted, and they had tons of it. I don't know all their connections, if they was connected to cartels or not. I just know that I began working for them, and it was pretty serious. Here in town, I was known by every detective possible, but they was never able until I was 21 to catch me with drugs, which I'll get to that in a second. But, you know, I had cars. We were living in nice neighborhoods. I had a house over in Indian Springs, 3-4 cars in the driveway. All of that stuff, money, cars, clothes, all that stuff that the world gives to people to tell them that they're important. I had all of that stuff. And let me tell you something right now. I was as empty and as broken as you could ever imagine somebody being. That's what my life was. And so I began working for these gentlemen. I worked for them for years. At 18 years old or 19 years old, I began to inject my body with steroids, and I became very mean, very angry, very quick. At 18 years old, two robberies happened in my life that that changed who I was as a person. I was always a soft-spoken person, never really violent until then. And then I began doing that at 19 years old. And, you know, the violence, the anger, all of that came to surface, and it was a bad day. You know, if you came across me, you came across my family, my friends, anybody, you tried to take something from me or you got in the way of what I was doing, it was a bad day. It was a bad day for everybody. All my little buddies that I rode around, they was all UFC fighters. I was the basketball player, but it was just bad. We would go to bars and destroy them. I was kicked out of every bar from here to Murfreesboro and Shelbyville. They would bar me from these places because I'd go in there and we would destroy the places, fighting and being just filled with anger. And it was just horrible, a horrible way of living. And, you know, that's when my violent streak began. Two robberies happened where one, I was beat up in some apartments. Now, keep in mind, at 18 years old, I was 6'5 and 185 pounds. When you're selling dope and you're selling drugs, that's not a good way to be, okay? I wasn't violent and angry at this point in my life, and that's when I began using the steroids, and just my anger and the violence just came rampant. So one of them, they beat me up, took my drugs in the apartment complex in Shelbyville. The next time, I had a .45 caliber pistol stuck to my chest in broad daylight at Walmart gas station in Shelbyville over about $200 worth of marijuana with my pregnant girlfriend at the time in the vehicle. And that's when I decided I got to do something, and that's when I began taking the steroids, and it was just, you know, violent, angry, bad day you come across me. And 19 years old, I wound up getting a scholarship offer at Motlow to play basketball, thinking, you know, hey, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to go play basketball. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to do these things, and nothing had changed. I wound up getting a DUI, kicked off the team there at Motlow, and by 21, I had caught my first felony charge. I was caught with a bunch of drugs in my trunk over in Wartrace, Tennessee, coming from Shelbyville back to Manchester to peddle my drugs. And so at 21, a young man, never worked really in his life. I would get a job for a month or so just to cover up what I was doing. But this is how I started my life as a young man. 21 years old, never really worked, sold dope my entire life, was absolutely lost and a broken individual. And so I wound up getting in trouble. I go serve my time, pay my debt to society. And then my father was a college baseball coach at a Christian college called Emmanuel College down in Northeast Georgia. And right before I went into jail, I called him and I was like, you know, I want to change my life. You know, is there anything you can do to help me? And he said, come down here and you can try out for the basketball team down here. I'll get you a workout. And so I went and tried out for the coach. He said, go serve your time, come back here, and I'm going to give you a scholarship. You could play basketball here at Emmanuel College. And I'm thinking, wow, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. And I go do my time, and then I get out, and I go to Northeast Georgia. And did I mention this before? If you don't ever get in this word, and if you don't never give your life to the Lord, you can leave from city to city and state to state, but nothing will ever change unless you get born again and begin to serve Jesus. And I took myself down there with me. You know, that was the problem. I took myself down there with me, began doing my thing down there, you know, and wound up coming back. I wound up marrying my son's mother that I just mentioned, that she was pregnant in the car. And then she went down there with me, and she eventually, it didn't take but about it might have been 9 or 10 months before she had packed her bags, took my son, and come back here. So I followed. I did love my son, and I did want to be there for him. I loved my son. I was always there with him. But I love my son, and I wanted to be a father, but I hadn't met my Heavenly Father yet. I didn't know what it was to be a good father yet, because I hadn't met my Heavenly Father yet. And so I come back home. I'm with my friends. We're playing football in the backyard. And I go up for a catch, and I land on my foot and snap it. I didn't run into a little girl, but I jumped up and caught the ball, and it just snapped my foot. And I didn't have insurance at the time, and this is where my pain pill addiction kicked in. You know, I'd always took pills, partying, but it had never gripped my life like it was fixing to. And at this point, you know, doctors would write me prescriptions, and I began to abuse them. And my pain pill addiction kicked in at this point in my life. And this is where I'm at 22, 20. I believe I was 23 or 24 out here. In Summitville, and look, guys, I could go on and tell testimony after testimony about how I should not be here. We're talking about with acts of violence, with guns pulled on me, shot at, knives pulled on me, hit across the head with bottles. I mean, and I've done all of those things to people. And this is how bad that my life was. And so I think I was 23 or 24 out here. Y'all could probably see my hand. I was in a really bad car wreck out here. I was on prescription medication. I was at a buddy of mine's, and I was drinking on top of it. It was his wedding. We was right down the road in Morrison. And I flipped a Jeep going about 50 miles an hour, where I could have lost my life, could have killed somebody else. But God had mercy on me, and I lived through that. And like I said, I could just tell you testimony upon testimony, but I'm going to fast forward just a little bit here. So I'm like 25 years old at this point, okay? I'm a drug dealer. I've just turned into a drug addict. At this point, I'm so junked out in my life. The prescription pills have just absolutely took over my life. I was using meth at this point in my life. It was just bad, very, very bad. And I'm 25 years old. My ex-wife had just left. She literally left me, and she left my son. She ran because of how violent, how angry, how bad that my life was. She literally packed her bags, ran, joined the Navy, and ran away. And so this is where I'm at 25. She comes home, and we're arguing and fighting, leaving actually from East Coffee. I wound up getting in a bunch of more trouble. They had charged me with reckless endangerment with a vehicle, all this crazy stuff. And I'm on my fourth violation in Warren County, from where I kept getting in trouble and kept getting in trouble and kept getting in trouble. And I wound up about 6 to 8 months. I'll share this real quick. About 6 to 8 months before I went to this program I'm about to talk to you about called Teen Challenge and on our program, I lived in this hypocrisy lifestyle. For about 6 to 8 months, I was going to Canvas, and I was just hungry to get in the doors of a church because I knew if I could maybe get in the doors of a church that maybe something would change in my life. Maybe I could get a hold of this thing called the gospel. Maybe I could change. So I began to go there, and I began to listen to preachers, and a lot of y'all might know Pastor Johnny Chase. And when I went in the doors of that church, he began to love me. Everybody in town knew how I was. The first day that I walked in there, I was on crutches, and I wore shades inside the church from where I was hung over and just a mess. And I was on crutches from where I'd kicked somebody in the face fighting the night before, and my foot was hurt. And he began to love me with no holds barred, with no agenda. He just began to love on me and share the gospel with me. He didn't have to speak much. All he did was live it out in front of me. And he loved me, and he would take me out to lunch, and I was even lying to him. I was like, oh, yeah, I do construction. I do home improvement stuff. And he's like, oh, that's great. Well, we're doing some remodeling at the church. You want to come by? And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I done lied to the man of God. And now I'm going to go ruin this church, painting the walls. They were doing some remodeling. And I just get in there, and he introduced me to this guy named Todd White. He said, hey, check this video out. And I began to listen to this guy's testimony and how he was an atheist, hardcore drug addict, drug dealer, and I'm thinking, God, if you would do it for this man, you could do it for me. And he began to stir the waters in my spirit at this point. But I'll share this. You can listen to preachers, you can listen to pastors. Like I said, I went for about 6 to 8 months in hypocrisy. You can listen to them all day long, but until you get in the Word for yourself, nothing is going to change, because you got to have a heart change. You got to get born again. That's what the Bible teaches. No man will enter heaven without being born again. So I went through this stage, and that's when I got in this trouble. And I said, Johnny, is there anything that you can do to help me? My mom got shot in 1982 in Miami, Florida. My mom is Puerto Rican and Cuban. She was raised there in Miami, Florida. She got shot during all that cocaine cowboy stuff in 1982. Came to a program called Impact Ministries in Huntsville, Alabama. It was a faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation program. And she mentioned Teen Challenge. Todd White went to Teen Challenge for 2 months, and then God sent him home. And then Johnny, I said, you know, look, I'm in this trouble. I really want to change my life. Is there anything you can do to help me? And he said, sure, let's get you into Teen Challenge. I'm like, duh, Teen Challenge. Yeah, I've been hearing it for the last couple of months. My mom may have even talked to me about it. And so I wound up going to Teen Challenge. And that's where God got a hold of me. That's where my life changed. It's where this happened right here. This is my Bible that I was given while I was in Teen Challenge. And I, I'm sorry if anybody's a King James guy, but I didn't speak King James at the time of being lost. So I couldn't understand it. And I asked the counselor, I said, could you get me a Bible that I could understand? And he got me this Bible right here. It's an NLT version. It's on an eighth grade reading level, so I still read it. So he got me this Bible. And this is what I did to my Bible in 11 months. I read the cover off of this Bible, guys. In 11 months. 11 months, I read the cover off of this Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you spend time in the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus. And let me tell you something right now. Jesus is the only thing that could have changed a man like me. Being in the presence of Almighty God is what changed me. And that's what we're going to have the opportunity to do in this city. This city per capita is number 7 in the state of Tennessee per drug-related crimes and arrest. It's a problem here. And we have the opportunity to combat it with this right here. With this right here. Because let me tell you something. There might be a 12-step program. Thank God for that. Whatever works, works. But Jesus had a one-step program. Out of darkness into marvelous light. That's it. It's a one-step program. You submit to Jesus, get discipled, and he will absolutely change your life. And that's what we have the opportunity to do with BTB Crisis Center. We shorten it up and call it BTB because Be the Bush Ministries Crisis Center. That can get kind of long when you say that over and over again. So BTB Crisis Center is what we're going, we're flying under. And we just want to teach men Jesus. Look, the world is going to look at this program as a faith-based drug and alcohol program, but we're in the body of Christ. We're in the church here. So I'm going to tell you what it really is. You want to know what it is? It's a discipleship program. That's it. It's a discipleship program. I teach these men Jesus, and in return, they get set free from drugs, alcohol, and a lifestyle full of sin, period. That's it. You know, and so we will be taking in students with drug and alcohol addiction. We're going to call them students. They're not clients because we're a religious organization. We're a 501c nonprofit, so we're strictly ran off of donations. And I just believe that this ministry is something that's going to really change our community. We have 2 3-bedroom houses over by the fairgrounds, and they're actually in my backyard. So my house is right here, and then these two houses sit right behind me in my backyard, and that's where these guys will be living and staying. And we're believing for a building eventually, but for the first year or so, we're going to use these houses. And I just want to share real quick where the name comes from. And it comes from Exodus 3, and Be the Bush Ministries. That stems from, well, brother, I wish God would talk through a burning bush again. Maybe somebody will listen. Well, why don't you just be the bush? Why don't you get in the presence of Almighty God? Let him set you on fire for the kingdom, and you become a vessel for the kingdom of God. And so we're going to teach these men to get into the presence of God, and it is going to change their life. Also in Exodus 3, God talks about hearing the cries of the children of Israel. And I was reading this, I think it was about last year, and I've been building this ministry up over the last year and a half, and I was studying the scriptures, and God began to speak to me, and he said, Caleb, I've heard the cry of the drug addict, just like I heard the cry of the children of Israel. I heard the cry of their taskmasters, of what they was putting on them, and the enemy has put this thing, these chemicals on people, and they cannot get out of it. But I've heard their cries, and I'm sending you back in, just like I sent Moses to go after those people. And I said, wow, God, that's amazing. I'm all in. And at the end of Exodus 3, it talks about plundering the enemy. It says for the women to take articles of silver and gold and blankets and things like that, and it says that they will plunder the Egyptians. Let me just tell you something right now. This ministry, yes, it is a men's facility, but this ministry will plunder the enemy. Because can I tell you right now, when the man of his household goes home and he's born again, his wife's going to get saved, his kids are going to get saved, his brothers, his sisters, his aunts and uncles. And when they see a drug addict who was stealing, thieving, robbing, acting crazy, in and out of jail, get born again and get set on fire for the kingdom of God, that's what's going to plunder the enemy, because I believe that their family members are going to get saved. I believe that their homes are going to be kingdom homes and that they're going to represent the gospel. So that's the backstory of where the ministry name comes from. So like I said, we're a 501c nonprofit. You guys' church is going to be involved with us. And so on Sundays and Wednesdays, churches that partner with us and that are involved in this, we're going to be on a rotation. So we'll be going from church to church with these guys. And, you know, it's I'll say this. This program is like spiritual boot camp. We don't play. These guys are going to be clean shaved every day. They're at the breakfast table. Then they're in the living room for devotions by 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then we get our devotions done in the morning and then also at night. And then we go throughout our day. Now, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are going to be class days where I'll be teaching these men new believers classes and teaching them different studies. We also want to have local pastors from the community, local elders from different churches come in and teach these guys classes and just show face with these men. They need to see the community backing them and behind them and saying that we have you guys support. And so that's going to be a huge deal of what we do too. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday will be class days. Tuesdays and Thursdays are going to be work days. So we'll go to different places in the community. We'll have work days where these guys will work on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like one of the businesses that's partnered with us is Pappy's Restaurant. They're a Christian-owned business. We want to partner with Christian-owned businesses where they will go and work. And so I'll share this. These guys, when I went to the program, I didn't have a work ethic. I never knew what it was to get up and go to work every day. I'd sold dope my whole life, just being honest with you. Okay, so when I went to the program and I spent a year here, they taught me how to get up, be a man. These guys are going to get up every morning, make their bed, like I said, be in the living room for eat breakfast, then be in the living room for devotions. So these type of things was what I was taught when I was in the program. So my program is not Teen Challenge. We're a crisis center, so I'll have guys for 3 to 4 months, and then I'm sending them to places like Teen Challenge, Dare Challenge out of North Carolina, all over the country with these different programs that I'm connected with. I'm going to Louisiana next weekend to preach at the training center down there. And so these guys will be sent to different parts of the country. So they get here, they get their first phase done, and then they'll go to the second phase of the program where they have a lot of opportunities. Look, these guys don't just graduate a program and like, hey, see you, bye. Good luck. No, that's not what happens. They're given opportunities for apprenticeships, work, internships, colleges that are connected with these places. Life Point College is a great college there in Fredericksburg, Virginia, where we'll be sending guys that I'm actually going there this weekend. So these guys are not just thrown to the wolves. They'll have an opportunity when they graduate these other places. If they want to come back to Manchester and intern, they can. In a nutshell, that is the program that we're running. Like I said, it's a discipleship program. And, that's what we're going to have in our community. We're going to have the opportunity to see the drug addict come to Jesus. And we won't just take drug addicts, anybody that has a life-controlling issue. We want to see them discipled. We want to see them helped. And see them advance the kingdom and enter into the kingdom, be born again, and living for Jesus the rest of their life. This program, we're based off the Teen Challenge model, which can claim, this is crazy, an 87% success rate of graduates. That's insane. NA and AA have a 5 to, I think they went up to 8% success rate right now. 5 to 8% compared to 87%. That's the Jesus factor of these faith-based ministries. So that, in a nutshell, is our program. Now, we're doing fundraising right now, so at the back table, we do need to make another order, but we have some left. We have T-shirts for sale, and all those proceeds go to the ministry, and which it's not cheap to house. We're going to have up to 8 students, so we're going to be feeding them, putting a roof over their heads, and teaching these guys Jesus. So it's not the cheapest thing in the world. So we are doing some fundraising. So we have T-shirts back there on the back of them. It says, we got 2 slogans that we use. If God can use the bush, he can use the recovered addict. We're going to teach these guys that they are recovered. We're not going to teach them that they're in recovery, because I've read my Bible and it says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. If you go to an NA and AA meeting every day and you stand up and say, hi, my name's Bill, I'm an addict, I'm always going to be one, guess what you might be? Okay, or you could get into the presence of God and say, no, I'm a child of God. He's taken my heart of stone out and put in a heart of flesh. Any man who is in Christ is a new creation. Amen? Right? So that's what we want to teach these men, that they are recovered. So Jesus plus discipleship equals recovered is one of our slogans. And then if God can use a bush, he can use the recovered addict. So that's what we believe. I've only got a couple minutes. Honey, you want to come up here and share? She's the more organized one. She's the better half of me.
Good morning, how are y'all? Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for having us. And we know that where 2 or more are gathered, that Christ is in the midst. So we know that he's in the midst of our program. And these are just donation cards. They're not expected at all, but they're 100% appreciated.
We would like to have it back. That way we can contact you. We have your cell phone number, email, anything like that. You can give a one-time donation. I've attached envelopes to the back of these if you just want to do a one-time donation. We have an option up here where you can give monthly. You can enter your amount or choose one of the amounts. And you can give monthly, but if you do give monthly, you have to have a PayPal account if you use your credit card.
Or they can do the sending a check to the P.O. box.
I got that.
Okay.
Okay. I've not made it there yet. Thank you. And so we also have a P.O. box, and the number is not on this card because we had these made a few weeks ago. But our P.O. box number is 1827. If you would like to make just checks out every month, just fill this card out and let us know. That way we can contact you. We can get you receipts. We can get you things such as that. But we just thank you so much for having us. If you would like one of these cards, I have them. I'll have them at the back desk back here. So we just thank you guys so much, and we appreciate y'all's support.
Yes. I did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't give out drugs to combat a drug problem. I just don't believe in that. I used to take Suboxone, which is a drug they give people to get off drugs. I used to take it to get high when I didn't have other drugs. And I'll say this, Suboxone, I don't even know how I got off on this, but I'll be obedient to the Lord. But Suboxone is actually even harder to get off of than heroin. It can literally kill you just like heroin. Trying to get off of it. And that's a touchy subject. A detox facility, you do have to be careful. Some of these guys detoxing off of heroin, we ask them to detox before they come to the program. Now, if they don't, we believe in James 5, anointing them with oil and as the elders and laying hands on them and praying for them. And we believe that the Lord will get them through that. Now, there is scenarios where they would go to a detox facility and they might administer something like that to help them kind of wing off, because it is very serious. You know, and I didn't say any of that to bash doctors or anything like that. I know they know what they're doing. I'm not a doctor, but I am saying that at our program, we won't give them any kind of medical drug to come off the drugs. We will just, you know. That's right. That's right. Yes, he is. And when I went to the program, I went cold turkey. I was doing a lot of drugs. And I went cold turkey, and I didn't feel the best. You know, I didn't have some supernatural, miraculous, didn't have any, you know, withdrawals. Now, I've heard of several testimonies where that has happened. The Lord didn't do that for me. And guess what? What he has established and what he says is okay, that's what's okay. And so I went through that, and I paid the consequences of my sin, and I didn't feel good for about a month or two, but I was hungry for change. And so I stuck it out, and I stayed there, and there's going to be a ton of men that will do the same.
That will do.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we will go through a little bit of a rigorous interview process. I was an addict myself. I know how they operate, and I know how they work. I work in addiction now with Coffee County Drug Court as well. They're not going to pull the wool over my eyes. And like I said, this is spiritual boot camp. If you got an attitude or you want to act crazy, you're just going to have to, they have to leave. Like I said, we're running a tight ship. And that's just the fact of it. If they don't really want help, they're wasting and taking up space and taking up a bed of somebody who does need help and wants help. So that is an important factor of what it is that we're doing. Does anybody else have any questions? Yeah.
Do they do their own cooking?
Yes. Well, now if y'all want to bring some baked goods or something, you know, we're okay with that. No, but yes. So in each house, there will be a designated, one of the guys will be designated to cook all the meals. They'll be the only ones allowed in the kitchen. Like I said, it's tight ship. You don't go in the kitchen and open the refrigerator and get whatever you want. So there's three meals a day, and then they have snacks, of course. We'll give them fruit and stuff throughout the day and things like that. But, yes, they will be cooking their meals. But they're always supervised. I didn't mention this. This isn't a halfway house type of deal. The patients aren't running the hospital, okay? They will have a staff member that lives with them at all times. I'm going to pick up my staff member from one of my staff members from Washington, D.C. this weekend. He's at a ministry now serving, and he was in the program with me, and he's going to come with me, and he's going to serve here in Manchester. He's actually from New York City. He's a character. Y'all will be seeing him because, like I said, we'll be on a rotation with the churches, and so he'll be here with the guys. So we'll be coming to your services, taking up a row of seats, and these guys will be clean shaved and acting right and just get to fellowship with all of you fine folks. So we're excited about that. Yes. Sure. Yeah. Yes. Part of what? No, we aren't. We're a 501(c) nonprofit religious organization, so we're faith-based recovery. We are recognized by the state already. I'm waiting on my 501(c) to come back right now. It's a process now. Once I sent it off, I was able to receive funds up to 2 years from that day that I sent it off. But we're a 501(c) nonprofit. We aren't affiliated with them, but the state of Tennessee has already licensed us as an organization with the state of Tennessee. What was the third question? With trauma? What, like something that's happened in their life? They'll be going through biblical counseling with me and other pastors in the local community that come in and partner with us. And I understand that there's things that these people need to address. There was things that I needed to address. So they'll be going through biblical coaching and counseling with us at the center as far as that goes. And now I will show this real quick, and then I done went over. But BeTheBushMinistries.com. If you have a pen or are able to get that information or you need to come see us at the back, that's fine. BeTheBushMinistries.com is our website. Any question that you might have, I almost guarantee it's on there. It goes through everything that we got going on and what we're doing. Okay? Well, I've went over his dusting around. Sorry, man.